Hi, this is Terry Stewart, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. And you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on one of my favorite shows, the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, everybody. This is your cousin Brucey. And you're listening to my good friend, my cousin Mike Miller, right here on the Harmony Street Radio Show.
Hi, this is Ben E. King. And you're listening to my friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Chubby Tavares from the group Tavares. And you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're here with me on the Harmony Street Show, and it's my pleasure to have as my guest R&B royalty, a member of the fabulous Brothers Tavares, Mr. Anton Chubby Tavares. How you doing, Anton?
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Of course, I'm sure that the first thing everybody asks you is how you got the name Chubby, because you're really not chubby. You're in great shape.
No, I'm not. People always get stuck with names when they're born. I weighed almost 11 pounds when I was born.
Wow.
And my grandmother was my mom's midwife, and she decided that she said, this one here, we're going to call him Chubby.
Now, let me ask you something. Your father's nickname was Flash?
My father's nickname was Flash. He used the stage name as Flash Vieira.
Uh-huh.
But his real name was Feliciano.
Uh-huh. Seriously, your father was quite musical himself.
My father was in the business for over 60 years.
Wow. And, you know, which is great for you guys to follow. You know, at least you had a mentor.
Yeah, you know, the thing about my dad, he had a different talent. He sang mainly Cape Verdean music, which is a dialect of Portuguese music.
Right, and I actually know where that is because we're well traveled, and we just came back from Portugal a few months ago, and I find that very interesting.
Yeah, and but that's what he sang. I mean, his diction is my diction is similar to his because when I sing, I like to sing with my words pronounced so you can understand my words. You know, a lot of people sing and half of the time you don't know what they're saying. You have to keep going back and trying to listen to understand, well, what was that saying that they just said, you know? But my diction is so great. But I got that all from my dad.
I understand that because I remember when I was younger, and of course we all had the cover groups, and you'd put on a record and you'd go to try to pick the words off the record, and you'd have to run it by 25 times, and there were 6 guys in the room, and each one thought it was a different word.
Exactly.
If you're going back and you're saying, all right, my roots are R&B or doo-wop, when I was a dean in the Bronx, and I was for 30 years, one of my parents of two of my kids was Jimmy Keys from the Chords, who wrote Shaboom.
Okay.
And, you know, it's funny, he used to come in and speak to parents all the time at Parents' Day, and his diction was great as well, and he was a big proponent of that. But one of the things that he said was, we never sang a note of doo-wop. We were singing R&B and jazz, man. They didn't tell us we were singing doo-wop until 25 years later.
And this is it. I mean, we stemmed from my oldest brother, who was a doo-wop fanatic. You know, and he just believed in the doo-wop era. And he said, you know, if you listen to the Flamingos, the Hop Tones, the Cadillacs, he says, these guys all had a great harmony.
Right.
And he says, you know, we have a great harmony. Our harmony is a little different than theirs because we, in our harmony, we used a lot of major sevenths.
Which I love.
Which is like an off kind of sound.
Absolutely.
But when it blended in with the other voices, I mean, it was just very creative.
Right. No, I agree with you. You know, and, you know, as a guitar player and arranger, you know, of harmony, I always loved that, going to the major seventh and then ending with the diminished instead of, you know, the major chord. So I know what that's all about. You know, we kind of come from the same place. But even more so than that, because I know when I was a kid, my mother threw a little transistor into my crib, probably because I was a pain in the neck and she wanted to appease me. But I grew up at 9 and 10 years old. I knew all the words to all the Hop Tones tunes and the Flamingos tunes and the Spaniels tunes. And I don't know how those words got in there, but that's what my ear found. It found WWRL and it found, I wasn't listening to ABC. I was finding the stuff at the end of the dial, you know, listening to Hal Jackson. So.
That's right. And, you know, it's like today, and you and I both have a lot of friends that we both know. And
right.
Terry Johnson from the Flamingos.
Right.
We emulated a lot of the Flamingo kind of sound.
Hi, this is Terry Johnson of the Flamingos, and you're listening to Mike Miller and the Harmony Street Show.
But now, today, Terry says, you know, he says, when I'm rehearsing with my band,
right,
he says, I'm always telling them, you guys want to hear great harmony? Listen to Tavares.
Right.
You know? And there was a time when all we wanted to do was emulate the Flamingo. Terry said, you guys have such great harmony.
And also, you know, and you and I had this conversation the other day, you know, being brothers and being the same bloodline, the timbre of the voices are not that far away from each other. It's almost like, you know, when you're in the studio and you're doing all the tracks by yourself and then you listen back and you say, man, that's tight, because all, you know, all of the intonation is kind of the same, all the vibrato matches, you know. But with brothers, yeah, it's got to be pretty close as well. That's a great thing.
And this is what it's all about. All the years that we've been together, it's like being brothers. I mean, we've been together all our life.
Right.
But we have, this is like a forever marriage.
You know?
We just grew so tight with each other when it came to singing.
And, you know, what's really funny is, even away from the music business, you don't hear about brothers who stay that close all the time, every day, on the road, you know, for as many years as you guys were together. It's, you know, relationships breathe, you know, in and out, whatever, whatever. You had to have some good days and bad days.
Well, you know something, it's like everybody else. If anybody tells you, I don't care if it's family or if it's just friends, everybody has their downfall.
Right.
And everybody has their little things. I mean, my brothers and I, normally, half of the time when we have a disagreement, it's because the sound didn't sound like, you know, in the show.
Right.
And we look at each other and say, no, yeah, but you know, that's not the right note.
Yeah, creative.
You know, we have to sit there and work it out.
Yeah.
But everybody has their disagreements, you know?
Yeah, well, creative disagreements are...
It's creative disagreements.
And they're good. They're actually good because that makes you better. Because, you know, you got input from all those guys. You're kind of a blend of everybody's mindset.
Exactly right.
You were listening to the R&B stuff, you know, as a kid growing up, and that pretty much was the basis. That's what you guys had in your heads when you stepped out into the world as a group. That was your roots. Here you guys are together. What was the first real group?
Well, you know, in the early 50s, like you said, with the doo-wop,
right,
our oldest brother, John, is the one who came in and taught us the basic harmony.
Right.
But to say we actually formed a group is in 1971 when we decided to change our name from Chubby and the Turnpike.
Right.
Tavares.
Right. Well, Chubby and the Turnpikes, you guys recorded some stuff with that group as well, did you not?
Yes, we did. We had two singles. One was called I Know the Inside Story.
Right.
And the other one was called Nothing But Promises.
Right.
And those were both on Capitol Records, but they were on like a subsidiary of Capitol Records.
Right, I got you.
Telling all your friends, Saint Jelaw's been gone. It's not your fault, things worked out wrong. You're acting like an angel, you're a devil in disguise, but you can't fool me, I'm a little too wise. Side story, I know, forever I
me to take it easy, but how can I?
How can I?
Do the little things I say and do don't seem to get to you, but still I try. Just years of loneliness. Oh, I've been blue.
I've been blue.
Girls never made you worth of art. You would keep them reaching out in the dark with your promises. You never made a word to say. With hopes and
named Marv Holstrom, who decided after we recorded I Know the Inside Story of Promises.
Right.
He said, you know, we got to change the name of this group. He says, Chubby and the Realities. And he said, the name just doesn't sound right. He said, we need to change the name from Chubby and the Realities to Chubby and the Turnpike.
Right.
And that's what we did. I mean, so those two singles that we did, they were predominantly nice hits, but they were just hits in our local areas like Providence, Rhode Island, Boston, Massachusetts.
Right, right.
Connecticut, you know, but it stood in that area. It never left and went nationwide.
Wow. Because, you know, it's funny. I lived in Danbury, Connecticut for many years. And, you know, we used to go up 84 and we'd go up to Rhode Island and we'd go up to Boston. And I'd listen to a group called North Shore Acapella that used to sing in one of the Italian restaurants there. And we'd, you know, there were so many talented groups around. We even used to go to Musquamacut and eat at the Nordic Lodge once in a while.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there were so many groups. People think all the great groups came out of, you know, Queens, the Bronx, and Staten Island, but it's not really true. You know, there's talent everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
So moving right along, and this is something that I really didn't know. You guys were on tour in 71 with Lola Falana in Italy.
Lola Falana and my brother Butch had just got married.
Wow.
My brother Butch, they had just gotten married.
Wow, you mean that little underage guy that you used to sneak into the clubs to sing? That guy?
That's the one.
I see.
And he was always into this type of kind of dancing. I mean, even today, if you see him, he kind of sticks out more than all the rest of us because we try to keep our stuff all in unity.
Yeah.
With steps.
Yeah.
But he's the one that always kind of like sticks out there more than everybody else.
Yeah, there's always one.
But it's because, you know, he had this thing with Lola, and that's what she was. She was a dancer.
Right.
You know, more so than a singer, she was more of a dancer.
Wow.
I mean, she did that movie with Sammy Davis Jr., was it Golden Girls?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and in 71, after they got married, she picked up a tour in Italy. We first went to Monaco because we worked there and performed for Princess Grace.
Wow.
When we first got there, people were like, they didn't know what a turnpike meant. What is a turnpike?
Really?
They have autobahns, but they don't have turnpikes.
Right.
You know, so that's when we decided, you know, we're all brothers. Why all these years, when we were young boys, people used to always say, the Tavares brothers.
Right.
But we never thought about using that name. And we said, you know, we need to just think about it and call ourselves who we are, Tavares.
Right, and what a unique name for the time, because, you know, at that time, from the 60s into the 70s, you were getting groups that were only, like, one name, a one-name kind of a thing, instead of more, you know, like 10 syllables, you know.
Right. And, I mean, what best thing better than going with your family name?
Absolutely.
You know, it's like the Jacksons.
Right.
You know, I mean, they went with their family name. You know, and it just balanced out that it was time for us to change. And after we changed, it seemed like everything started falling in place.
Right. Now, what's interesting to me is that I've heard a few of the performers that were signed to Capitol tell me, you know, we were signed with Capitol, but they really didn't know what to do with us.
There was, and you know something, there was a lot of groups like that, but it's like Capitol Records, it was more like something that they were just getting into, trying to get R&B groups. We had R&B solo artists,
right,
which, you know, the great Nat King Cole.
Right.
You know, but it was like having a group in an R&B flavor. We seem to be like some of the first ones that came out with Capitol. So it was like an experience. They were actually experimenting with groups.
Right.
You know, and we just happened to fall in where we fell in at the right time. And we fell in in the right time because of a great manager that we had. His name was Brian Pinella.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Brian Pinella was a district sales manager for Capitol Records.
Gotcha.
And he was, you know, he had heard of the group, but he knew in the Providence, Rhode Island area, every time he went to a record shop, because then they had the record shop, the way he'd have to deliver records.
Right.
45s, albums. And he kept asking the people at the record shop, do you know these young guys that sing? He says, I believe their last name is Tavares, but he says, I don't know how to get in touch with them.
Ah.
And the guy said, man, Tavares brothers live right up the street. That was Willard Avenue in South Providence, Rhode Island. And he ended up diving up to our house, and he says, you know, I heard you guys sing, he says, but I never knew where my career was going to go. He says, I'm pitching with Capitol Records to see if we can land you guys a deal.
Wow.
And we had just finished doing a demo in Chicago at Jerry Butler's jazz workshop.
Uh-huh.
And that was Check It Out.
Right, I know the tune.
To guide you through the night. If you want someone who understands, then things can't get uptight. If it means anything to you to know that I care for you, check it out. Oh, check it out. I understand complications can sometimes bring you down, but different situations doesn't always be around. And if it means anything to you to know that I care for you, check it out, baby, check it out.
And you know what's interesting about that is when you say, and the people that are listening to this, you know, in those days, that's what they did. They took a record, they brought it around, they went to record stores, they went to DJs, they went to radio stations. You know, it's such a totally different business now, but there was a lot of legwork involved in breaking a hit.
Yeah, but you know, the thing about that, it was nice because they had all these guys who worked for them.
Uh-huh.
That would get these things played and get it put on radios.
Right.
Now radio stations are very limited. You know, you have your website radio stations.
Right.
You have your internet radio stations, but you don't have any place for these people to say, man, that song was great. I'm going to go to the record shop tomorrow and buy one, because there are no more.
That's right. Shops. Tower Records is now what? It's a parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, there's just none of it. I mean, now I heard not too long ago that the record companies are thinking about going back to vinyl.
Wow, that'd be something.
Yeah, I mean, but where do you buy them at? Because the only place you can buy them is on the website.
I know. Well, you know, what's funny, we have a 57 Seberg jukebox in the house. And my wife's got 200 vinyls in there, and I even went to Collectibles the other day, and I said, geez, they used to have a catalog with thousands of tunes, and you know, even if they're CDs, you know, but of course now we're looking for vinyl because it's an old jukebox, and I realized that whole thousands and thousands of record catalog is down to about 100 records, and we're just talking about just the basic top 100 hits. That's it. So they're starting to get rid of that too. So now if you want to buy a vinyl record that, you know, you really need to have, you got to search it online and you got to go to a guy that's selling it for $39 or $40. You know.
Exactly. And you know, it's so sad because even Walmart and Target, they were at least selling CDs. Now I hear that they're starting to dwindle on that. They don't wish to carry them anymore. So where do you go? You know, if you want to buy an album, you've got to go to Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, you know, and order them. And a lot of people, you know, some people just don't understand. You have to buy these with a credit card.
No, that's true. I know.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot of people who have credit cards, but there's a lot of people who don't.
Also, there's a certain type of person that will buy a tune. You know, I had this talk with Mel Carter not long ago, and he says, I don't care, man. I'm going into the studio all the time, and I'm staying creative, and I don't care whether they buy it, they don't buy it. I need to keep being creative until I can't do it anymore and whatever. And he's got his stuff out. He sells it on his website. And he sells it at gigs and he sells it on Amazon. And it's like he still got that burning desire to do that. A lot of guys have given up and they've said, I don't know what to do. I don't understand how it works. I have a couple of tunes that I produced that I did. I wrote a couple of tunes for, I don't know if you know the book. It's called 7-Inch Vinyl. Don Riggio wrote a book about a fictitious group called the Duquesnes. And they had a fictitious hit, Bouncing a Kiss Off the Moon. And they also had a cover of That's the Way It Goes. So I did both of them as the Duquesnes in my studio. And I put them out. They're on Amazon. I sell a few every once in a while. But I'm getting a taste of what it's like, you know.
And this is it. I mean, it's like my new CD now. I have to work that CD every single day.
Right.
24/7.
I hear you.
It's the only way it gets recognize, and it's the only way people get to hear it.
Right. No,
you actually end up being your own promoter of your music. You know, you got to get production somewhere, and if you don't have anybody promoting it, if you don't have a big label or a label that's saying, hey, I'm going to put my money into this and really promote this.
Right.
People can't buy if they don't hear it.
And we're going to talk about the new CD at length in a few minutes. I want to say this, too. Even though it's going on Amazon, and even though it's going on iTunes, and it's going on some of these other sites, you know, where people buy music, a guy like Chubby Tavares is going to produce that thing with no stone unturned, no holds barred, and do it only the way you know how to do it, with the best people and the best producer and the best engineer, and that product is going to be the best that you can do, then you are taking it, and here's the mindset, to an entity that you don't know that much about. In the old days, you knew that there would be distribution. You knew you had advanced sales. You knew you had, but nowadays it's like, we don't know who those people are. They're nameless and faceless and whatever, and we know them as Amazon.
Exactly.
What
you're really doing is taking a shot.
You know.
Hoping that these people, that you get these sales, If that doesn't happen, what do you do? And this is why I have two Facebooks. I have a Twitter. I have my email. I have a website.
Right.
Because if you don't have these things, you might as well just call it quits.
By the way, people kid about Facebook and all of that. As far as I'm concerned, I'm on there because of my music friends, and mostly if you look on my page, it's all about music and the show and talking about the music and this and that. And once in a while I put...
That's exactly what mine is
And the point is, it's really the best free advertising in the world. Until they get hep to it, it's really a good thing for us music people. The other thing, and I know you've noticed this, you're probably in touch with some people that you lost touch with 15 and 20 years ago in the music business that all of a sudden say, oh my God, Chubby Tabaris, man, how you doing? And they send you an email.
Right.
That's the beauty of it.
I get that every day.
Right. And you say, oh my God, man. And you say, whatever happened to you? Yeah, well, I'm doing this now, playing bass with so-and-so, and I'm doing, and it's mm-hmm. a great way, and the music people I find, it's very clicky on there, but the music people on there, it's a very tight knit group of people.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying all the big labels that used to be there years ago don't have them anymore.
But,
you could go to an Arista or to a Capitol Records or to an RCA, but all those record companies have disappeared. They have all become Universal Records.
You could go up to the record companies and say, hey, listen to this. You know what I'm saying?
We've done all of that, and this is what we continually do, because who knows, down the line somebody might hear it in a big label that's still happening and say, why is this, nobody jumping on this? This is a great CD. We need to check on it and see what we can do. And you might end up pulling something out of that, but you don't know this. But this is why you have to constantly stay on your computer, constantly.
No, I understand.
Let people know that you're still out there, you're still doing what you gotta do.
It's the new deal.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the brothers for a little bit, because I don't want to let that go. You did the demo for Capitol, and of course, Pinella did some really good things for you. And, of course, here you are, you're on tour, you're doing good things and whatever. When did it really skyrocket for Tavares?
It skyrocketed for us actually in 76. We came out with a song called It Only Takes a Minute. It was very up-tempo. It was just on the phase of going into that disco era.
Right. And...
And that's how Tavares ended up getting labeled as a disco group.
And if you were a music lover, a dance lover, a disco person, an R&B person, there isn't anybody that's living and breathing that A, didn't have that record in their collection, B, didn't love that record because it was so well produced, and the harmonies jumped right off of it. And as a musician and a vocalist, I would like to say, there was so much going on in that record that it was like, oh my God. DJs were playing that record two times in a row, and dance clubs were playing it two times in a row, sometimes on the dance floor. Because I had a disco group called Devotion. We did a lot of the discos. and whatever. We had a tune called Dance City that was played in the clubs, but never really made it as to the radio as big. But It Only Takes a Minute was, that was a fabulous situation.
And that brings us right back to another friend that we had.
Correct.
Dennis Lambert.
Right. Tell me you know, about your relationship with Dennis.
Dennis and Brian Potter.
Right.
Did a couple of albums, and our manager, Brian Pinnell, really loved the kind of work that they were doing.
Right.
That's when we decided to go from, you know, the producers that we had and go with Lambert and Potter.
Right.
Because we felt like that they could do something for Tavares. Called She's Gone.
Correct.
And we got that song through Dennis and Brian. We did it, and I mean, it was just a great, great song.
It sure was.
Hall & Oates ended up coming out with that same song, did it mainly like how Tavares did it.
Right.
They got a hit R&B and pop.
Right.
So, I mean, it started their careers, and from there they went to Cyrus Smile, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But their careers went on. But Tavares had some great songs, but we didn't have that great promotion behind us. We needed that promotion behind us. You know, it only takes one person to say, yeah, the song's number one, but we don't want to cross it over. And that's what happens. And there's politics and everything in the world that you do.
Oh, you bet. Well, you know, also, as a guy who appreciates the harmony and... also, as a guy who, in three or four different R&B type cover bands on Long Island, we could not leave out of the set a tune called Remember What I Told You to Forget, also a Dennis Lambert tune. And that tune, to me, is an R&B standard. whether or not it was a huge giant hit or a number one tune or whatever, that tune had everything there needs to be in a tune as far as production, as far as the way it was sung, as far as the way it was written, as far as the lyric goes, period. Said.
That's right. That's right. And you know, son, it was a great, like you say, great R&B standard. Every place we go, if we don't have that song on the show, people really get upset. And they go, how come you guys didn't do Remember What I Told You to Forget?
Right.
They just think that that song is the best, I want to say, in that time. You couldn't find it. If they had released that as a single right after She's Gone, we probably would have had another big major hit.
My feeling, yes. But I got to tell you something. I don't know whether this is going to make you blush or not. You could take away all the music in that tune. You could take away all the group harmony, everything. And you could put your lead out there a cappella, and it would probably make most people cry. Because you put every emotion that you had in your body into singing that lead. That was one of the things that made that tune what it was.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. And this is what I stem off of, because it makes me feel good that people tell me that, you know, that voice is still there. And my producer now tells me, he says, your voice hasn't changed one bit.
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, who thinks of, you know, my heart just went in with this dime and I only got 3 minutes time. And I say to myself, who thinks of that stuff, man?
Dennis Lambert and Brian Potter.
Right. No, nobody could say it better, you know. And I'm proud to say that Dennis is a good friend of mine and is still as creative as ever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question about it. And he did my recent EPK, and he said he would love to work with me again, you know. So
right.
I'm going to try and get that to happen on my next solo CD, you know, where we can get some of it, because he's got great ideas. He's got great songs.
Right. I told you, well, there are still people searching him out. I told you I hooked him up with John Lloyd Young from Jersey Boys, and there are some things going on, and, you know, we're trying to help him with his career and everything else. But when I told John's manager, I said, well, you know, she said she's looking for some new tunes and whatever. And I said, well, Dennis Lambert is a good friend of mine. She said, you know Dennis Lambert? And she said, oh, my God. And we hooked that up. And, you know, Dennis is trying to give John a little bump. And, you know, I'm involved in that a little bit, too. But
it's a name well known.
Oh, you bet. So let's fast forward to Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel, and there you go again. Tavares is like all over the neighborhood and all over the world with that tune.
And that's where we ended up doing those songs with Dennis and Brian Potter.
Right.
We decided to go with another producer who became Freddie Perren.
Right.
And Freddie's the one that put us on the map with that big hit, and it was disco. You know, people like labeling. We were always a good R&B group, but people wanted to label us as a great disco group.
First of all, a lot of people knock disco, but I think disco was just, if you take the big band sound in one hand, the overproduction, the very, very super produced stuff in the other hand, and if you had another hand, take all of that R&B 50s harmony and rub it all together and whatever, and out comes the disco stuff, because a lot of that stuff was great and it was really produced.
You got the flavor.
I had the pleasure of hanging around, because I was very good friends with a staff engineer at Media Sound years ago. And man, I watched a lot of great stuff go down. I was a fly on the wall and got involved in some of that stuff, but I was there and I watched some great stuff get recorded there, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we received a gold album for that song. We received a platinum for Sky High.
Right. You know, and
that was all Freddie Perren's good art, man. I mean, he was a great producer.
You're worth more than the rarest of treasures.
Right. And then we got a segue into, if that wasn't enough, you were a household name because of More Than a Woman.
After we came out with Heaven, we started touring, and we ended up going, we had two shows that we had to do with the Bee Gees. Now, we've never met the Bee Gees. We didn't know who the Bee Gees were. We knew that they were a great group. Okay, but we never met them. And when they told us that we were going to do Madison Square Garden in New York City, we were going to be an opening act for the Bee Gees.
Right.
We jumped all over it.
Sure.
And Freddie Perren was still our producer at that time, but he didn't have any inclination that Barry Gibbs was going to come to us in that show at New York City and say, listen. I mean, I didn't know who they were. I mean, they were all sitting, three of them were sitting out in the audience doing sound check.
Right.
And we were going through a rehearsal. And, you know, I thought it was like guys that were there setting up the stage, roadies and whatever. And we ended up going through all the little rehearsal that we had to do. There was a couple of songs we wanted to make sure were right.
Right.
With our band. And, when we got done with it, we went back to our dressing room. And our manager came and said, guess what? He says, I just got the pleasure of meeting Barry Gibbs. And Barry says that he got this great song for you guys.
Right.
So the song's called More Than a Woman.
Wow.
And they hooked it up where Freddie Perren ended up going in and producing it. And we ended up, it was history. We got Best
wow.
Album of the Year.
Wow.
Everything happened. You know?
Yeah, and I know because I've sung that song, and that song has a lot of words in it.
Yeah. And if you notice, the Bee Gees, every song that the Bee Gees ever did, you never heard backgrounds.
Right.
You know? And we had to actually fill in so we could put those backgrounds in More Than a Woman.
Here in your arms, I found my paradise.
one thing about the Bee Gees, every verse is different too.
Yeah, right. They, you know, that's just their, that was just their mentality that
right.
they had.
Right.
I've done a couple of songs for Barry since then.
Oh, wow.
I did one on my earlier solo CD called Words of a Fool that uh-huh. Barry wrote.
In your eyes now, but you're not in sight. Just a picture of someone I lie with each night. Long may love live here. You fill up my home, and though you're not with me now, I won't be alone. Now wisdom is fine, but the heart leads the way.
People don't forget, you know, and if he was like, man, you know, these guys had this big hit with us, you know, and it was just unfortunate that both songs were on the same album. But that was due to production for the movie.
Right.
Our song wasn't ready yet.
Right.
Freddie was still in the studio with it. So they said, well, let's use the Bee Gees demo. And once Tavares' song is done, we'll just take that and put it in and insert it in the movie.
If I remember correctly, didn't the album start with one version, was the first tune and the last tune? Didn't they do that on that album? Maybe I'm wrong.
No. What happened was, if Robert Stigwoods knew that he was going to have 7 top 10 hits with the Bee Gees, he probably wouldn't have had none of those acts on that album.
Right.
You know, because the Bee Gees, I mean, they just clean house with that. Every song they came out with was a hit.
Yeah, but you know what? They didn't start out doing all that falsetto harmony. You know, that became just like something that was like very, very different. It was unique, and they just kept pushing that button, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And that's exactly what it was. They actually got a sound that people could really, really recognize them.
Right.
And that was that falsetto.
And so, okay, you had that, and then after that, what was going on with Tavares? Did it become a little bit of a letdown as that stuff started to like fade a little bit? Or you guys were still working and doing big shows. Obviously, you were doing Soul Train. You were probably doing, I don't know if you were doing Dick Clark stuff at that time.
We did American Bandstand.
Right.
And Dick Clark was a great guy. Every time we came out with a song, we were invited to go on Bandstand.
Come out here. Sit, stay, stand, speak. Pooch, introduce me to your brothers, please.
Okay, that's my brother Butch.
Yes, sir.
Brother Chubby.
That always slays me. A skinny guy like that. Was he a chubby kid?
Yeah, he was very chubby. He was about 11 pounds when he was a baby.
And it sucked. And next?
That's Brother Tiny.
Yep.
Ralph.
And Pooch. What is your real name? You know, all these years we've talked, and has anybody ever asked you that in public?
Yeah, they ask me all the time. My real name's Arthur.
Arthur?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Arthur. Why don't you use Art?
I like Pooch.
How'd you get these odd names?
They got a sucker. I've been doing the same name. I mean, the same name, man. Ralph.
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 That's the same name.
Now, this is very... We were talking over there what a, you know, nice-looking group this is and how, you know, smooth and all of that. Oh, where's my picture? Oh, son of a gun. Is it on an easel? Get whip that camera three over there, and guys, get out of the way there for a second and look at what is this anyway? Somebody brought this over.
You'll have to excuse my voice.
Oh, I forgot. You sounded good on the song. What, you lose it on the song after all of that? Chubby, what is this?
This is a group of Tavares when they were very, very small. We worked for the Boys Club in Fox Point, Providence, Rhode Island.
Now, wait a minute. Do you carry this around with
Chubby
you?
Does. Yeah, he's got a big wallet.
I'm a sentimental guy. I like looking
at it. It's in the suitcase at all times?
Yeah, all the time. I take it on the road with me.
How many Tavareses are there, brothers and sisters?
Total 10. Seven boys and three girls.
The ladies sing professionally?
Semi-professionally. They sing in the showers, right? They left them singing for all the brothers.
How do you manage to keep this family affair going? I mean, you know and love each other very much, but living together, working together, that's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough, especially when you have to live with Butch next door with the music blasting all the time, you know?
You don't all live together, do you?
No. Everybody lives close, except for Chubby. Chubby lives in Fort Lauderdale.
In Fort Lauderdale, Florida?
Yes, sir.
You don't like the rest of this?
I like the warm weather.
Hey, I hope your throat gets better. Happy 1984. Tavares, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back.
Same thing with Soul Train.
Right.
Mike Douglas was the same way.
Cool.
You know, and we that's what gave us recognition.
Did you guys do Don Kirshner's rock concert as well?
We did Don Kirshner's rock concert.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing you on that. Sure.
Yeah. I think the bad thing for us was we didn't get that big, big push, you know, with our record company saying, man, you know, these guys are the talent. This is the group that is the talent of everybody, every group that we have. Tavares were the number one group. We need to make sure that they stay there. So it was kind of a letdown for us, you know?
Right.
That we just didn't get that promotion like we should have gotten. But, you know, something, it is what it is. But like I said, in those days, it was all about politics.
You know, that stuff never goes away. I mean, there was the politics of the 50s and, you know, of course, you and I know some of those guys that had hits in the 50s that never made the money that they should have made. I mean,
none of them guys never did this just too.
You guys were well-traveled. I mean, you guys must have traveled all over the world. And you know, isn't it funny when you see a Tavares album that has Japanese writing on it or German writing on it? Because I know that...
It certainly is. I mean, but you know something? When I look at it, I'm very proud of it. It's like, I mean, we went from here to the other side of the world, you know, and
right.
People just, they know Tavares.
The other thing that I've noticed about a lot of the Tavares tunes is that I see them a lot, you know, doing what I do on not so much Tavares CDs, but compilation CDs where people are taking, you know, they're doing mixes of like 70s tunes or whatever. And they'll throw in like two Tavares tunes and two Spinners tunes and two, you know what I'm saying? And I wonder
we have a record label right now out of England called Cherry Records.
Right.
They keep redoing all of our stuff.
Right. And, you know, as far as dance stuff goes, I mean, that stuff is all still so viable. You know, it's great. And, you know, I'll tell you something. If you want to talk about the doo-wop and R&B, you know as well as I do that these radio stations, terrestrial radio, is starting to disappear. So what's happening? Even with Sirius, their program directors are all like 25 years old, and they have all these guys telling the DJs what to play. Truly, the baby boomers are starting to turn towards internet radio in order to get the music that they love. I mean, there are a whole bunch of guys that are doing like the real solid internet radio shows, you know, and there are some lesser ones. I mean, I myself have interviewed probably almost everybody in the genre, and I've probably, since the 8 years that I'm doing it, have interviewed about 285, 290 interviews already. And it's funny how people are turning there to really listen to the stuff that they love, because they're not hearing it on FM anymore, you know?
Right, exactly.
I mean, I don't know that magic is playing Tavares at this point. I don't know what they're playing, you know?
Right.
It's interesting how that stuff has taken place. What's happening to Tavares now? You've been on that great ride. You've had all the hits. What happened at that particular point? We're through the 70s. What's going on with Tavares at that point?
Well, you know, we're working, but we have no recording, nothing going on. Now, from that end of late 70s, we end up leaving Capitol, and we went with RCA, which to me today was a bad move.
Right.
I think at the same time that we signed with RCA, so did Evelyn Champagne King.
Right.
And it lasted 1 year.
Right.
And it just kind of like fizzled right out. It was just like that was the end of it. They didn't want anything to do with it. I mean, we had a great song that we had come out with called Tennessee of Thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Which was nominated for a Grammy. We didn't win the Grammy, but we got the nomination.
I've got to know where I stand. I've just got to know where I am with you. So here's a penny for your thoughts, a nickel for a kiss, a dime if you tell me that you love me. Just a guessing game, and I can't help feeling used. Love shouldn't be so darn confused.
So here's a penny for your thoughts, a nickel for a kiss, a dime if you tell me that you love me. Penny for your thoughts, a nickel for a kiss, a dime if you tell me that you love me.
Love to talk. They say you're using me, though face to face you swear I'm the only one. If I had a crystal ball, I would gaze into your mind. I'd see what you were thinking if my ship was sinking, if you're leaving me behind.
So
I'm not afraid to
But, you know, after that, it was like they never put the promotion behind us to do anything with us. So that says a lot. So Tavares have just gone without any recording label, without anything.
Right.
All the rest of these years.
Right, and it was a shame. I saw you guys at Joey Dale's show, and of course, you know, you got to remember one thing. I'm in this business, you know, and I'm one of those smaller pebbles on the beach, but I'm still on the beach, and it's fun to be on the beach with all of those big, beautiful seashells and sandcastles, you know, like you guys. But I was at Dennis's show when at FAU when you guys performed. And I was also with Joey Dale's show. And, you know, here we are all that time later and Tavares was just kicking it and still is viable and every harmony was perfect and you guys rocked the house. Of course, you know, I was sitting in the front row with my wife. It was tough looking at Monty Rock. But when Tavares came on, man, you guys were just like super. And didn't miss a beat, and every harmony was there, and, you know, God bless you guys, you know?
Still continuously working, I mean, I don't think I'll probably ever leave the group tomorrow.
Right.
But I just felt like in 2012 I wanted to go out and start doing some of my kind of music that I wanted to do.
Right. After things started to die down a little bit with Tavares, you came out with that CD called Jealousy. You want to tell me about that?
You know, the Jealousy thing became where it was like I wanted to do songs from the old school.
Right.
I ended up doing one of the songs that the Flamingos did on My Foolish Heart.
Right.
And I had a producer who wanted to do a couple of songs, which the title of the album was called Jealousy. And I did a song there, but there was Daddy's Home was on there.
Right.
Shep in the Limelight. I just wanted to keep it kind of like a basic, low-key, easy-listening album.
Right, and also probably do stuff that you enjoyed doing that were songs that meant something to you.
Well, it meant something to me because I stemmed from that era.
Right.
I felt everything that I did was going to be from that era because that's what I felt.
Right.
You know? And it would have did well if I had got promotion, but it's like everything else. When you don't get, nobody hears it, nobody buys it.
The scene is set for dreams. Love's knocking at the door, but oh, my heart is reluctant to start, but we've been fooled before. The night is like a lovely tune. Beware my foolish heart.
It's like anything else, you know. If you did a big show and you didn't promote it, nobody knew about it, you know, you'd be standing there all by yourself, you know, at showtime. It's like, how do you get it out there, you know?
You know, and I sat on there for 2 years trying to work it, keep it going.
Wow.
And I decided, well, this is not going to happen, but I've got to go back to Los Angeles and hook up with somebody else that is going to give me the kind of songs that I really need.
Right.
And I hooked up with Preston Glass.
Uh-huh.
And Preston, him and I, we're not just business partners now. We're brothers. I mean, we go in the studio and we create magic.
Right.
And this is what it's all about. But like Preston said, I've listened to just about every single album that Tavares ever did with Capitol and RCA.
Right.
And all. I was just blown away that you brothers have such a great sound.
Right.
And when he first got in touch with us,
he wanted to actually produce the whole group.
Right.
But due to some kind of business problems, it just didn't happen, so he elected to pass on it.
Right.
But he called me, he continuously called me up, and he says, I've listened to the albums. He says, 75% of the lead. He says, I've always focused on how you sounded.
No,
he says, and I want to see if we can create that magic again.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, it was a lot of hard, I want to say hard work, but pure love and devotion.
Right.
You know, I mean, it took every quarter that I had to keep going back and forth to Los Angeles. I mean,
I hear you.
I must have made several trips to go back and forth. And he basically wanted to just go in and do two songs.
Right.
But, you know, with the closeness that we developed with each other, he said, no, we got to do the whole album.
Uh-huh.
And this is what we did, you know. And I talked to him about, you know, I went through a lot of trials and tribulations in the early 70s when I, the early 2000s when I lost my son to murder.
Wow. See, now that's something that I didn't know.
Yeah, I lost right here in Fort Lauderdale.
Wow. Oh, yeah. My God.
And my son got involved. You know, my son, he used to always try to impress him that your dad has always been a leader, not a follower.
Right.
But he just wanted to hang around with these guys, and he was a follower, you know. He
yep.
And very easy, like my mom says, she used to always tell us, when you guys get out there and start reaching the climax, the top of the world, people are going to recognize you. Remember how to say no.
Right, right, right.
You know, my son just couldn't say no.
How old was he?
He was 23 years old.
Wow, wow. How do you, well, you know, you never really recover from something like that.
No, and you know, and I explained all of this to Preston Glass, and Preston was like totally taken back because he never knew about this, you know, he was like, and the only way the guy got caught was I took it to America's Most Wanted.
Wow.
That's how the guy ended up getting caught.
Unbelievable.
48 hours after they aired America's Most Wanted, they seized him in Brooklyn, New York.
Never
no, the
knew
Bronx,
that.
Not Brooklyn, the Bronx.
What a story.
Yeah. And, but Preston that night just, he, I guess he couldn't sleep. I heard him kind of moving around in the middle of the night. He went back to his studio and he sat there, and the next day he came in, he says, I wrote a song last night, he says, I believe that you should do this song. He said, it's called Silent Whisper.
Right.
And when he played that song for me, I was just taken back, man. It was probably one of the hardest songs that I ever had to record.
Right.
But, you know, I got it out, and he says, you can hear in your voice, is there, but you can hear the sadness in your voice.
Right.
You know, he said, it's almost like you're reaching out, kind of like crying.
Right.
And to me, it's probably one of the best songs on the album. I love all the songs we did, but this song here sticks out like there's no tomorrow.
so close. It follows me wherever I go. I can hear a silent whisper, gentle yet so powerful. Your words carry me ever clearer. Silent whisper. So true, so tight. Sometimes by day and sometimes at night, I can hear a silent whisper, gentle yet so powerful. Your words carry me ever clear.
Why don't you give everybody the what is the title of the album?
The title of the album is called Can't Knock Me Down.
Okay. And Silent Whisper, how many takes did it take you to sing that song?
Well, you know, normally I would go in the studio and it would take me maybe 3 or 4 takes on a song.
Right.
This one took me about 20 takes.
Wow.
I was just so choked and so emotional, you know, it was kind of hard to sing.
Well, you know what's funny too is nowadays, unlike it was in the studio years ago, where everybody would go at the same time and there was no punching in. Nowadays, if they get a couple of lines that they don't like, the guy says, "Sing along, and I'll punch you in." And they just punch in the 3 words that they need, and they punch you out. And you know, it's almost like
this is how me and Preston worked so great together, because he knew exactly what he wanted to hear.
Right.
And he would say, just sing along and
right.
don't concentrate on it, and, you know, try to just relax when you sing it, you know, because, I mean, to sing a song like that, and when you express words like, though you are not here,
right,
you know, you still are a memory in my life,
right,
you know, and then you say, I can hear a silent whisper,
you know.
Right.
And it's my kid.
I hear you. I mean, it doesn't get any more real than that.
No, and the whole thing, it's like my son gave me that strength to go in and say, he said, Dad, you can do this, you know, and I praise Preston because where do you find a person like that? I mean, it's just been one great venture with him, and like he says, and this is not the last, he says, I just have such strong belief in you that we will be doing it again.
Well, you know, I spoke, like I said, I spoke to Dennis the other day, and we were talking about Preston, and he had nothing but praise for Preston. He said, you know, really and truly, he says, Chubby is in really good hands.
Oh, man, forget it. I mean, he produced Whitney Houston.
Right.
You know, if you check his background, man, the guy's had a lot of big major hits.
Yeah. Does he always wear the hat?
Always wears the hat. Oh. And I'm a hat man myself, but Preston wears his hats more than I do, and he likes those little soft hats.
Right.
But he's such a stupendous, nice man, and his wife Gina is a super lady. I mean, we became family.
Let's talk about some of the tunes on the CD, and what's your favorite tune on that CD?
Without a doubt, I would say Silent Whisper.
Okay, and rightfully so. I love when that happens. Tell me about that tune.
Era with my sons now, so you know, in that age bracket, And his thing is about hip-hop and rap. And I'm not a hip-hop artist. I'm not a rap artist.
Right.
I don't knock it. You know, some kids have their own ways of expressing themselves. It's nice to express yourself, but express yourself with dignity.
Right.
You know, not with the calling women B-I-T-C-H.
I hear you.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, that doesn't help how I was raised, and I just don't believe in it. So I said, you know, but we would love to go in and do this song, and that's what we did. We went in and did it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just sitting here, and I'm thinking to myself, it only takes a minute, girl. I wonder if in another life that could be a ballad.
You know, I'm quite sure people have thought about changing it in some way. I know we got a whatchacallit from J-Lo.
Uh-huh.
She's always going in there and doing stuff from Tavares. She is always sampling Tavares music.
Wow. Have you spoken to her?
I haven't spoken to her. I know of her and been around a couple of shows that she's done, but I've never spoken to her about it.
Man.
But she's always, especially, it only takes a minute. She sampled that so many times.
Wow.
She's always using, you know, she'll do altogether different song, but she has to take one of those lyrics from It Only Takes a Minute. She has to put it in there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's and that is a really an honor and a pleasure, because it means that she is. I love when performers pay homage to what came before them, and that's what a lot of the young kids nowadays are missing. They don't understand all the people that paved the way in order for them to be there.
That's right. You know something? That's like me. My mentor since I was a young boy was always Marvin Gaye.
Wow.
You know, and I always pay tribute to him, because to me, Marvin was 40, 50 years ahead of himself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when he came out with that What's Going On album, I mean, things that he said in that album is what's actually starting to happen now in this world.
Right.
You know, and people go, well, you know, this is just an insight that he had to the good Lord upstairs. It was like, how could you sit there and say, holy, 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 Jesus left a long time ago.
Right.
But when he left us a book to believe in.
Right.
And in it, we've got a lot to learn.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's always made that impression on me. And when I went in and did this, can't knock me down.
Right.
It's everything that's going on around us. I mean, Can't Knock Me Down is a great example of it, you know.
Woo! Yeah, 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 yeah. It's going down. It's going down. Yeah.
all men are created equal.
Can't kick me around.
But I don't quite understand what that means.
It's going down.
Many have died.
Can't knock me down.
To uphold these freedoms.
It's going down.
That they want to change.
Can't kick me around.
And reverse the dream.
It's gotta stop.
And I ended up doing a remake on Wake Up Everybody.
Right.
With Teddy Pendergrass.
Correct.
You know, because this is what's going on. No more sleeping in bed. No right. more backward thinking. Trying to think of ahead. The world is going to change. Just put it in your mind. Surely things will work out. They do it every time.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, 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 oh yeah, baby. Wake up, all you teachers, time to a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. Cause they're the ones who's coming up and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. All you doctors make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hell. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we can do it. We all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. No, 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 no. The world won't get. Gotta change it, yeah, just you and me. Wake up, everybody. Is it a wake up, everybody. Children are dying, and parents are crying. So wake up. People tell you to do, wake up. They tell you, don't be no fool. Wake up, said wake up, everybody. Wake up, so wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. I said wake up, everybody. Children are dying, and parents are crying. So wake up, everybody. I said, wake up, everybody. I said, wake up, everybody. I said,
wake up.
Wake up,
everybody. Wake up.
I said, wake up.
You have a website that people can go to, right?
Yeah, I most certainly do.
So what, let's let everybody know what that is.
Okay. My website is chubbytavares.com.
And they can get the new CD from the website as well?
They can get it from the website as well.
Right.
My email is chubbytavares4@gmail.com.
What would you say to people who were Tavares fans all those years ago and bought those records and listened to them, have listened to the records all the time over the years, listened to you guys on the radio, and are still fans of Tavares to this day? What would you say to those people who have been with you all of those years?
For all of these years that they have been with me, I thank them and appreciate their great support. Tavares have always been very special people in the world. I mean, we have surpassed so many great other entertainers, and we are thankful that the Lord has given us the strength to keep carrying on. I take it back to people who got married because they want, and they tell me their song was "Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel."
Oh yeah,
because I just found my angel. You know, and right. I mean, people who have gone through this for 40 some odd years have always been there for Tavares, and we love you for it, and we thank you for it. And this is what I'm trying to accomplish with my new CD, to continue on. You know, and when people hear it, they're gonna say, the CD sounds like Tavares.
It does.
But I am Tavares, you know.
I hear you.
When it's not like patting myself on the back, but all those years that I recorded, we had 14 albums, and 75% of those albums were Chubby Tavares.
And let me tell you something, Chubby. At this age in life, you know, I was telling somebody today, life is like a download, you know. When you start a download, you can't even see the thing move, this little blue bar, and you can't see it move. And then you walk out of the room, you come back, you don't know whether it moved or not. And then, you know, so you put the cursor there and you say, ah, look at that. You know, it moved a little bit ahead of the cursor. And then now it's halfway, and then you can see it move. But then when it gets three quarters of the way, it goes chugga, 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 boom. And you know, at this stage in life, you know, that's your life. So, and you know, the phone rings every day. Did you hear about so-and-so? You know, he was playing tennis and he had a heart attack or this or that, you know, like good friends that are going away. And so it says to you, every day you have to do something.
That's right.
In your life that you love.
You never know when it's your calling. Life is too short.
So every day do something that you love.
That's right.
Every day.
I'm here and I'm just doing and making the best of what I got. I have my girlfriend is probably one of the best ladies I've ever had in my life.
That's great.
She's 110% in my corner, man. She is. We are on this computer day in and day out.
Right.
And we just keep pushing, you know, and she's the one that said we need to create all these great things that you got. You know, we need two Facebooks. One of them I can't put any more people on, which is the Anton Tavares Facebook.
Right.
But I still have a great look, you know, what you call it, for my Chubby Tavares Facebook.
Right, right.
So, you know, I'm looking for anybody who wants to chat with me, and long as it's about people who enjoy what I do, and we don't talk none of that nonsense on there. It's,
right.
It's all about my music, and about music, period.
And Chubby Tavares is a guy that is accessible. You and I both know that there are a lot of stars out there, and they put themselves on Facebook, and it's really not them. It's somebody, you know, one of their secretaries or something, like throwing their stuff out, and they really don't engage the people. They put something on it, and like, you know, 35 people write and make comments, but they never answer back, and they never engage those people.
Right. We are, you know something? There's not one person. We do happy birthday wishes every day.
Right.
We sit down together and we go through this, and Sherry is like the best, man. Like my son says, Dad, Sherry rocks.
Yeah, no, I
didn't. You know,
listen.
But, I mean, she's always there for me. We just keep it together, and when I first started going out with her, we have our motto called No Stress, No Drama.
Gotcha. Well, you know, when you have a woman in your life, you know, for a man, okay, when you send out your stuff and you see your reflection in the eyes of a woman coming back at you, you know, that's a wonderful thing. I know when I moved out to Florida, you know, I moved down by myself. I had been through some stuff and whatever, and I was out singing, running around, whatever, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got up one day and I said, enough of me. I just can't stand just seeing my own reflection in the mirror looking back at me. And then, thank you God, I met the right woman, you know, Paulette, and she taught me how to live and how to love again.
And that's what it's all about.
It was great.
To have someone that is there for you. I mean, I just can't, I couldn't ask for a better lady. That is one of the reasons I did the song by the Beatles, And I Love Her.
Right.
really want to tell you, girl, I love you. Yes, I need you. How much I need you. I love you.
You know, I just thought that this was the time to do And I Love Her, man, because it's all about my Sherry.
I will tell you this, though, on our first date, I'm with Paulette 8 years, on our first date, which we had at City Oyster in Delray, that was our first date, and she did tell me during that date, she said, I'm always right, and, now that I know her for 8 years, she's always right.
Yeah, that's what I told Sherry, I haven't found one thing that you have told me that was wrong. Everything you tell me, I might put it out of my mind for a little while, but then when I come back and look at it, I say, something? You're absolutely right.
Even when I'm saying it, she'll say, I don't like the way you said the word you. It's you, and she'll make me change it. And then I listen back and I say, you're correct. That was right.
Well, and this is what it's all about. But when you do that, you learn, and it's not about you're saying it wrong. It's the diction, the way you say it.
Right.
And that's what means something to me.
Or she would say to me, not in that shirt.
That's right. Well, when you meet my girlfriend, she dresses the way she likes dressing. And
right.
I tell her, whichever way you dress, whichever way you feel comfortable, I'm comfortable.
Right.
I will be the one to love you. You had me at hello, your presence, every essence. If I could, I would always have you near. Life would be all good. Nothing equates to the love we share. 300 figures, the 8 wonders of the world.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. It's Johnny Mathis, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show.
Who done it? Who stole my girl's
be my precious lamb. You can feel protected. I know you can. I love you so much. And baby, I'll keep you in my heart. Wherever I am, wherever I am,
I'll be your guide,
your guiding star.
Prosper, I'll never leave you in the dark.
I'll never leave you, baby.
I'll be your light,
I'll be your light.
At the time of the stairs, and when you lay me down to sleep, I'll be the answer to.
Thank you so much for taking out the time, spending this time with me. As I say, you know, I could be a friend, but I'm also a big fan.
Well, so, I thank you very much, Mike, and I appreciate it.
Chubby, I'm going to see you real soon, and we hope that everybody goes out and gets Chubby's new CD. And I just want you to have a great night. And God bless you, and I'll see you soon.
Thank you too, Mike. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you very much. And like I say, please remember, the CD is Can't Knock Me Down.
Chubby Tavares. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
open up your heart. Recall how it used to be. Remember all